Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Magically Cruising, the cruise podcast where we share our personal cruise tips and reviews to help you make the most out of your next sailing. My name's Kieran. I'm an independent travel agent specializing in all things cruise, Disney, and North America, and I'm joined by my fellow co-host.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I cruise. No, I said that last week, and I don't think you noticed. And it's actually in the podcast.
Is it?
Right. Yeah. I write and cruise over at Cruising for All, Cruising with Kids, and Mini Travelers, where you could get travel tips, cruise tips for families traveling with kids of all ages.
And this week, Sarah, we were having a bit of a giggle, weren't we, in the background in the last couple of weeks. As we always do, we've kind of got a group chat, obviously, with us as kind of Magically Cruising the team. And we just share funny things we see and we hear online type of thing. And we thought this would be quite a good and interesting episode for a podcast. So we kind of have a group chat where we share funny things that kind of other people post maybe in Facebook groups, or they post on like Twitter and things like that. Just questions that you kind of go, is this real? Are they actually asking this question? So what we thought we would do is this week we would kind of share some of those or play a little game, at least anyway, isn't it, of is this real or are they just having a laugh at some of the comments we see on Facebook. But before we do that, I think, is it worth having a chat about like the pros and cons, I guess, of Facebook groups and social media groups for kind of planning a cruise? Because I do personally have a love-hate relationship with them, but I know you run your own Facebook group and obviously I've got my own Facebook groups as well. But what are your thoughts on kind of planning cruises using a Facebook group?
I think they're good. I think it's opinion subjective. So if we've got a lovely group. There's over 7,000 in it now.
Yeah.
But we're super strict. So if anybody's nasty or negative, we delete them. So there's none of that in it. Obviously, yeah. It's cruising with kids advice and tips or something like that. But you can find it through our Facebook page. And because it's all families, there's none of that kid hating and parent beating that goes on in.
Yeah.
There is one group that's one brand that is just vitriolic. And they hate kids in it. And it's like a parent mentions a child and they just get lynched. It would put me off cruising if I'd have gone in that group before I cruised. Well, Facebook wasn't about before I cruised the first time. But yeah, I think it's subjective because, you know, somebody put the other day about would you cruise on MSC? And I haven't. And all right, I've got a short one, but in my mind, it's not on my radar. But then I'd say Royal Caribbean, NCL, Celebrity, if you want something a bit quieter, they'd be my choices. And there was a lot of people put negativity in. Someone was recommending Carnival. Somebody said, I don't like Carnival. So, and then somebody else come in and said, I always cruise on MSC. It's my favourite cruise line. So I just think you can't judge what those people are like that are answering your questions. And
absolutely.
And your taste is your taste.
Yeah, I think
it's very difficult to gauge who the people are and whether you've got anything in common with them that are recommending stuff.
That's the thing, isn't it? That's my big cautionary tale, and I get it all the time, and it drives me crazy. Obviously, I work with customers, and I have a chat to them, and I kind of go, you know, what's your budget? What are you looking to do? Where do you want to go? And I will work with them to find the right cruise line. They will then book that cruise, and they will then go off and find a Facebook group for that cruise line. And then they just come back to me with 1,001 questions. Oh, I've seen on Facebook that this happens if this happens. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't happen very often, though. Well, it happened to this one person. I'm like, yeah, it's a Facebook group. Like, sometimes people are going there to let off steam. They're not always looking positive in their type of thing. You just need to be very careful, as you say, about just how much salt you take a lot of the advice that you do see on some of these Facebook groups. They're fantastic tools, and I've joined specific sailing groups or roll call groups and made friends, and we've had fantastic sailings because we've joined in with, like, you know, the Secret Santa things and all that type of stuff. They're fantastic, and they can be a great way to get extra tips and advice as well. But definitely as well, just because one person had a bad experience in an inside cabin on a particular ship doesn't mean that you will. You know, they could just be somebody like me who cannot stand inside cabins. So just because one person in a Facebook group doesn't like inside cabins doesn't mean that it may not be the right choice for you. That's just one example of, you know, yes, definitely look for advice in Facebook groups, but don't plan your entire cruise around what somebody you've never met, as you've said before, who has a totally different worldview. They may not want to cruise the same way as you, and they may not have the same problems that you need to solve.
And that's it, especially with family cruising. I mean, you might not like kids. Well, not like kids, but I love kids, but I don't want kids in my face all the time.
Yeah.
Even when my kids were little, I don't want everybody else's kids around me. I'm like, oh, they're cute and that's nice. But there's a line, isn't there? But that's why we loved Celebrity and Princess when we cruised with them when our boys were little, because there were less kids on. There were kids and there was kids for them to play with. So you've got to factor that in, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Every cruise line will be different. Every ship will be different. Every season is different as well. So again, there's so many things to be aware of. So it's definitely good to go to the Facebook groups and get a feel for kind of what the vibe is and what that brand's like, and definitely ask a crowdsource information. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Just, I'm always very, very cautious. And I tell all my customers, I invite them to groups, I invite them to my groups, but I always say, like, you know, don't take everything as gospel that you use in a Facebook group, because you could just get somebody who's on a bad day, having a bad day and having a rant type of thing, and you may never come across that problem ever again. So definitely just take that with a pinch of salt. And I think that's what this episode has inspired as well, is just some of the advice, some of the unwarranted advice or tips that are shared in some of these groups are hysterical. So I don't know what you want to do, Sarah. Should we take it in turns with one we find and ask whether or not we think it's real or answer it? So do you want to go first or should I go first?
Go on, you go first.
Well, the first one, this one howls, but somebody has asked, if the captain and his crew dies, will they let me drive the boat? Do you think there's a genuine question somebody has asked? As in, yes, they have asked it. We've got screenshots to prove it, but do they generally think that that's what's going to happen?
No, I think there's someone with like a little naughty streak that just knew. First of all, schoolboy error, it's not a boat. And that's the first thing I thought when I saw that. It's a bloody ship. It's a ship. But I think they were winding up. I saw that comment when it went live, and yeah, it was explosive. I mean, 155 comments.
Yeah.
So I don't think that was real. So, okay, this is quite a serious one, actually, my one. But this has been asked in our group, so I know this is genuine, people. But you can tell what you think. Is it okay to leave kids under three in the room?
Yeah, and I'm not going to read the comment that's underneath it that we talked about before this, because it's really inappropriate. But somebody definitely replied back with a very dark response to that comment. But and thing is, though, I get asked that by customers, though. I generally do get asked by customers, like, if we want to go out for a meal, is it okay to leave our kids in the cabin? And I'm like, I'm not judging you, it's your choice, but probably best not to. Just because, you know, kids can let themselves out of the cabin. There's no way to lock the doors in the cabin. If you've got a balcony cabin, we've had a whole episode about, you know, leaving kids in cabins alone under a certain age type of thing. But I get asked quite often by parents of, can I leave them somewhere, or is there somewhere I could put them for a couple of hours? Like, yes, the kids' clubs where they're supervised.
I'm putting this out there. I'm judging, because you just should never do it. Total judging. But pay the babysitters. They've got, well, I don't know if they don't all do babysitters anymore, do they? But they've got the kids' clubs. You can pay the extra in the kids' clubs. If your kids don't like kids' clubs, they're not going to like being in their room on their own. If you think you're going to go and put them in a room and leave them, just don't go on a cruise. Leave them at home with your grandparents or something. But yeah, no. Next.
Again, I know this. I don't eat everyone's cooking. Am I allowed to bring a barbecue pit with me and have it on my balcony? What I love, though, as well, is the first comment underneath it is, sir, this has already been asked. So it keeps coming up. And I know, though, from my friend who works on a cruise line, he gets asked, and he tells me the things that get confiscated on cruises as well. But apparently they confiscate whole crock pots, like, you know, hot pots that get people take them onto the ship to cook in their cabins.
I was going to say that's not true. So it could be.
Honestly.
You can't be very clever. Sorry, whoever commented it, but really? And not only that, if I was in the cabin above, I'd be livid.
I just can't fathom, though, as well, like, Phil's sole passion for going on a cruise holiday is the fact that he doesn't have to cook for a week. I can't fathom why you would go on a full-board cruise and have access to unlimited food and then want to cook on your balcony and have a barbecue on your balcony. Like, I can't fathom it. It boggles my brain that people think like that.
Like, Chris has one, like, suggests to me every year, should we go on a villa holiday? No, because I don't want to cook. And he'll end up doing all the cooking, but I don't want to tidy up after it. I don't want to be involved in any teamwork to do the cooking on holiday. I want to go and pick my food. So yeah, yeah. I don't. Well, all I can say is there must be a Michelin star chef. All in on super noodles.
Me though, I get it. Like, I don't eat everyone's cooking, and I get it. Like, everyone's got preferences and things like that. But if you can't find something to eat on a cruise, you need to pick a different cruise. Like, pick a cruise that's going to offer food you can eat. Like, you know.
Right, I've actually remembered something that I've seen on TikTok as well by someone, and I'm just looking at this. Right, so next one. On sea days, are carnival boats, ships, completely surrounded by water?
do you get me? Like, the whole point of cruising, I would like to think, that's the bare minimum your ship comes with. Like, again, I just don't know if these are genuine. Like, sometimes you just sit there and think, like, is this a genuine question people are asking? But I get asked all the time. I get asked so many questions like this. Like, following on from this, actually, what I get asked all the time is, can I leave the ship when it gets to port? So when the ship gets to port, can I get off the ship, or do I have to pay extra to do that?
I suppose if you've never cruised before,
but
not, is it going to be surrounded by water? Right.
Well, I think though, it's because some people think though that, because obviously you do have those, I can't remember, is it like one of the old Cunard ships or one of the old, it is a floating hotel, quite literally. It's at the dock and it just stays at dock and it doesn't move. So I don't know whether or not people have maybe seen pictures of that, know that it's a hotel that doesn't sail anywhere, and just assume that's just what cruising is. It doesn't sail anywhere because that's their perception of cruise. I don't know. It's an odd one, knowing what we know. But again, as you say, sometimes people, they're either trying it on, which I think this one is, because some people try to outdo each other as well, don't they, of who can make the most outrageous claim.
Well, you booked a cruise for this couple that, and they're lovely, young, first cruise. And she was sharing on TikTok, gorgeous, gorgeous girl, but never been on a ship before. And she was sharing on TikTok the ship, and it was fueling. So the fuel thing was up the side.
Yeah.
And she on the TikTok, she went, I just hope that isn't going to stay with us the whole time. Jack was like, obviously it didn't.
Yeah.
So yeah, people do assume some funny things.
It's things we take for granted because we cruise so frequently. You do forget sometimes that it's new to somebody for the first time. But yeah, I do sometimes question, like, okay, cool. Whose go is this? Mine or yours? Mine?
Yours.
So this one was a funny one that we saw as well, which was, can I fish off the side of the ship?
Do you know what? I've seen this ask loads. I have seen this ask loads.
Yeah. Like,
people genuinely think that's a thing. I'm sure.
I'm guessing if you go on small ship cruising, like, totally, that would be an appeal to be able to do that, to kind of go on a small ship cruise and... But not on an ocean liner. Like, come on. Yeah, I doubt there's a line long enough that you could actually get it into the ocean and get the tension off the fish to swim back.
But how small's the ship got to be? It's got to be like a yacht, really. I mean, you can't go on Silver Sea, can you? A fish off the side.
Well, if you brought your own barbecue on board, I guess, yeah, you would want it, wouldn't you? Be sat your... Maybe it's the same person asking, like, it's a two-part question.
That was the same person. Right, this is just someone winding up, but I love it. So somebody's put in a group. Obviously, it's a carnival group. So, but if he was a beginner, the coolest thing a carnival allowed me to do was bungee jump off the balcony to pet a dolphin. But obviously, that they're winding up. But can you imagine being new and thinking, oh, can you do that?
Well, given that how ships are being built these days and looking what Icon of the Seas has got and the fact that you can kind of do that whole rope swing over the edge of the ship, it is in the realm of possibility type of thing. But I guess my next question is was there an upcharge for it? That would be my next question.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, this one. And I sympathize with this person 100% because honestly... When I know we're about to go on a cruise and I'm watching a TV series, I'm like, I know the finale is going to be on when we're away on a cruise. It sends off some sort of internal fear on me of like, I'm going to have to avoid spoilers now the entire time I'm on that cruise because the episode's going to go on and I'm going to be on social media and miss it. So somebody has asked, do the cabins have TVs with cable access? Obviously, this is an American person. I can't go a week without my Bold and the Beautiful and my, I think it's the Young and the Restless, YNR. Which are American soaps. So in the UK, this is like the equivalent of somebody saying, like, I can't go a week without my EastEnders or Remedy, every sandwich type of thing. But I sympathize with this person at all, because, like I say, I get major anxiety thinking I'm going to miss out on the next episode of the whatever series I'm watching on Disney Plus or something. I know I could stream it, but there's nothing as nice as watching on a proper TV, and you can't always do that on a cruise ship.
No, I don't think there's it. I'm trying to think if there's ever a program I've been that bothered about. No.
No?
Well, I don't think there is. No, I don't think.
Yeah,
cruise, watching a favourite program. No. I don't watch soaps, so.
I love nothing more, Ryan. This is probably the reason why we get on so with Virgin, because their TVs and films are really good. They're on demand. We love going, getting a pizza, sitting in the cabin. We are so not cool, like, some nights. Even though I say, like, we're always drunk, we're probably drunk when we're doing it, but I love, like, should we have an early night to watch a film and go back to the cabin with a pizza or something? And, like, when we go on a cruise ship and they charge you to watch films on demand, or they've only got access to, like, satellite TV, we're usually quite grumpy because we're a bit like, oh, we just want to watch a film. We're chilling with a film. And we're sat there watching Eastern European TV type of thing on the four channels that actually work when you're at sea.
I think that's one thing we intend to do on our next, on the Transatlantic in October, because we've never had a night where we've ate in and watched a movie. So we've said, we're going to do it one night and just have a movie night. And then part of me, when I'm there, I'll think, oh, this is a waste. I know I will.
I think I run with, like, the whole of cruise is a marathon, not a sprint. So I think I'm very much like, I don't see it too bad to have one or two nights where you do kind of maybe have a bit of an early night. Yeah. We're talking, though, like, I'm normally in the nightclub until like 2, 3, 4 in the morning. So to have one or two early nights.
Right, next one. So can I fly a kite off my balcony?
Yeah, what did you want?
I'm going to say not.
I just don't know. I don't know. I can't even fathom why you would, like, why that would be something you would need to know before you go on a cruise. Because, like, logistically, you're going to have to pack that kite and then set it up. And surely there's better things to be doing. I'm judging kite aficionados now.
Well, I'm just looking down. Somebody's commented, I'm seriously going to create a real tips page because this isn't allowed. Sometimes it's funny to see what people respond with. But it's like, we're going on a cruise soon with friends. It's their first cruise. So she was on about taking a ride. I was like, no.
Have you seen, though, and I've not looked into it much, but some company has made a cruise approved mini travel iron. I don't know, I've not looked into it because it's not something I worry about, but I've seen a lot of, like, cruise influencers posting about this new mini travel cruise approved iron.
Do you know, I don't want it, and do you know why I don't want it? Because I send my shirt, well, not my shirts, Chris's shirts, to be ironed, and that's my thing on a cruise. I don't want to iron them before. I don't want to iron them on the cruise. So if they're creasy, just send them in a bag on the first day.
We don't even bother. I am in the campground of they'll wear out. If they don't wear out, I'll be too drunk to notice in about an hour or two time, to be honest. So it'll be fine.
A good tip on that, actually, and I'll do it at home now as well, is if something's only lightly creased because you've packed, what I tend to do is put it in the bathroom, not in the shower, but in the bathroom on the back of a door. Yep. While everybody's having the shower, the creases drop out. Yeah. You get that spray, ironing spray, give it a spritz, leave it in there, and the creases drop out really quickly anyway.
That's what we usually do with our shirts. Like, we've got non-iron shirts anyway, but obviously nothing's non-iron. And then, yeah, like you say, normally if you air them out, or even if you're, like, somewhere warm, sometimes in the Caribbean, you could probably put them out on the balcony for a little bit as well, and the humidity will sometimes do that for you as well. I've got one shirt that is an absolute sod to iron. No matter how much you iron it, the creases do not come out. And I love the design of the shirt, but I know for a fact when I'm wearing it, guaranteed, it's just going to be really creasy. So I kind of try and style it off. I'm like, no, it's designed that way. It's part of the fabric texture. It's meant to be creased. Nothing I do. Sending it off or nothing, it still comes back creased to hell. So is it my turn? I'm sorry, I'm reading them ahead to check what's next.
Go on.
This one. Oh, God. So real legit question. This is going to be our honeymoon. Are the balconies strong enough and can they withstand heavy macaroni stirring?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I read it and thought, I don't know what it is. Do I need to Google it?
Are you just going to give you a guess of what macaroni stirring could be? Like, you know, what are they going to be getting up to on the balcony on their honeymoon? And then somebody's replied back saying, the balconies are sturdy, but depending on how much macaroni is being made.
Oh, But actually, when you Google it, you just get people stirring macaroni.
Oh, God. Do you know what? This comes up, though, so many times. And
sorry, Al.
That people ask, like, can you have interrelations on the balcony? Can the captain see you? There's guides online that you could find about how to do it on the balcony. And I don't know what it is. I have zero thrill or desire to ever get up to anything on my balcony other than relaxing. But there is a certain section of the cult community who it is one of their ambitions is to get up to business on the balcony. I honestly, doesn't appeal to me in the slightest.
I mean, my last cruise, I could hear the bloke next door to me on the phone. So
like, I just know I am mortified. Like, I just know I couldn't think the thought of the whole ship knowing what you're getting up to type of thing. And then possibly the captain seeing in and no.
Each their own, but not for me. Not for me.
And I am not a prude, like, but no.
Right, next. Do you pay extra in the Serenity areas for guys and girls to come out with no clothes on and serve you? That's got to be a wind-up. In fact, that person has asked a few questions, so I'm now thinking he's a wind-up merchant.
Definitely a wind-up merchant on that one. Like, thing is, though, right, and again, this is me talking about Virgin Voyages, but some people think this happens on Virgin Voyages. Like, when they're like adult only, they think that's what it means by adult only cruises. There's nudist areas on board and there's swinging clubs and this, that, and the other. It's like, no. They just serve alcohol and swear on the ship. Like, that's what makes it adult only. It's not that type of cruise. It's like, there are cruises you can go on that are private charters where you can totally do things like that. But no, there's none that I'm aware of that are generally available sailings where, where nudism is normal.
Oh, God, right. So this is, this person's attention seeker. Right, you guess. Is it okay to give birth on the balcony and then leave it and go to the casino?
Just like, I don't even know what to believe anymore. Like,
as if you could even be asked when you just give birth. That was wrote by a man. Definitely.
Well, definitely, yeah. This is what I've sympathized with, but somebody has asked, do it hurt to wake up the morning on a cruise? Now,
It does, doesn't it?
It does me. Well, that's what I'm saying. This is what I'm well versed in. But like the fact that there are three alcohol drinks emojis after it, I'm assuming it means like after you've had a heavy night on the town. And yes, hangovers hit just as hard on land as they do on sea. And I have had very many hangovers. Awfully hangovers on cruise ships. So yeah, drinks packages are lethal is all I'm going to say on that one.
Do you know, I think I've only ever had one hangover in all the years I've cruised on a cruise.
Really? I sympathise with you. I wish I was you, even. I don't know what the word. Envy you, that's the word. I envy you.
Well, I'm not saying that. I do have a few. You know, I like a few cocktails in the day as well. Maybe it's because I'm drinking slower throughout the day. But yeah, I think because I want to be doing stuff the next day. So I think that's always in my mind.
You know, I can't control myself. That's my problem. I'm very much a social drinker. And if I'm in a really good mood and I'm enjoying my drink, I don't know how to stop. And I just constantly like another one. So like the worst hangover I've ever had was when we were on MSC. And I was drinking Long Island iced teas because I was like, oh, I'm quite enjoying this. And I must have drunk a good 15 to 20 throughout the course of the day type of thing. And we were up until 3 in the morning chatting in the bar, to the point that I don't remember. I had to be told what I was chatting about. We were having quite philosophical debates about, you know, being mixed race and growing up mixed race with another mixed race girl type of thing. But I didn't realize Long Island iced teas, and this is me, a professional alcoholic, I didn't realize Long Island iced teas have tequila in them, and I'm allergic to tequila. So I was so ill for 24 hours after that night type of thing. Luckily, it was a sea day afterwards. But we were doing the Bay of Biscay as well. So hungover in the Bay of Biscay. It was not a good day. I was not a happy person that day. And I was just like, and I said to Phil was like, oh, I thought you knew there was tequila in them because you were drinking so many of them. I'm like, no, clearly not. Awful.
So for anyone that's listening in the States, do you want to explain what the Bay of Biscay is? That's never been to Europe.
So the Bay of Biscay is often referred to as well as like the Biscay Shake. And the Bay of Biscay is the northern tip of Spain and France, ultimately. So it's kind of like this coastal area. And a lot of the cruises leaving from the UK, we don't get to go to the Caribbean and go to lovely places like Cozumel off our doorstep. We get to go to places like La Havre, Bilbao, and La Corona as well, which are all based in this little crescent-shaped bay it's massive. It's not like a bay, but it's just called the Bay of Biscay. But the Bay of Biscay has probably a 50% chance of being lovely or the worst place on the earth to cruise through. And you never know what you're going to get. There's no seasonality to it. There's no, it's just pure luck of the draw type of thing. So it's just renowned for being a particularly choppy part of the crossing. So sometimes if you're going obviously from Southampton down to the Mediterranean, you have to go through the Bay of Biscay. But then particularly there's like a 7-night itinerary that most cruise ships do that will do the Biscay Shake, as I like to call it, which is going to be, yeah, like La Coruña, Bilbao. Sometimes they do Le Havre. There's one more down there as well, isn't there? I forgot what the other port is. Cherbourg, that's the one. So they're normally like, I call them northern Spain and France, basically. So it kind of does that little tip. And the ports are beautiful. Like, we've got lovely ports to go into type of thing, and there's a lot to do from them. You just have to sail the Bay of Biscay, and everyone kind of prays for good weather when you go for the Bay of Biscay because it can be a bit choppy.
We once went through and the ship was lifted. We were in the theatre, which was at the front. It was on a small, old, the old Sea Princess, and you could feel the ship lifting.
Really?
And then banging.
Yeah.
It was like, boom, boom. And loads of the ship were ill. I mean, I'm okay. One travel sick tablet, glass of champagne, I'm fine.
Really?
Yeah. It was really bad that night.
Do you know when we did all those seacations during COVID, and that was our options to go up the English Channel? We were on board, I think it was either Virgin or Princess, and the captain was like, yes, we think we're going to... It was Princess. And he was like, yeah, we think we're going to go down to the Bay of Biscay for the day, just taking the sun. And literally the whole ship was just like, no, we're fine. Stay in the English Channel. You don't need to go to the Bay of Biscay. The weather's fine in the English Channel type of thing. There was the one time where everyone was clamoring to stay in the English Channel rather than go further around to the Bay of Biscay. Like I say, I've done it. On the way down, it was rough, and that was the day I was hungover. Coming home, it was fine. We had lovely weather. It was glorious type of thing. So again, it is potluck. But it's known for being a particularly ropey part of the European Sea to go into.
So next, is there a strip club on the ship?
My brain is going to like...
There's a market for these people, isn't there? That like strip clubs and nudist bars.
I was about to say, like, yes, with me, I'm at 2 in the morning type of thing. When it gets too hot, just stand around, yeah. Yeah, again, adult-only cruises, I get it, and it attracts an adult market, but can you imagine a cruise ship that has a strip bar on board? Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah, what, the first comment, upside-down pineapple, is it a myth? If you want to know what an upside-down pineapple, go to Emma Cruises. She has an article.
Yeah, there's tons of articles on Upside Down Pineapple Club.
Yeah, just Google Emma Cruz's Upside Down Pineapple, you'll find it. Right, next.
Well, this is a follow-on, but do you know we were joking about people cooking food on board cruise ships? Somebody has generally asked as well, are you allowed to bring a microwave onto the ship?
Do you know what I'm going to start doing? I am going to start photographing the naughty table. I'm going to start doing it.
On disembarkation when you see all the confiscated items.
Yeah. Because I always like try to go really slow to see what's on it, to see what people have brought on. I wonder if anybody has ever seen a microwave on that table. In fact, if you're listening, comment, what is the worst thing you've seen on the naughty table?
That's a good one, actually. We should have asked that before we do this episode, actually, seeing there's a trend here or things that aren't allowed. But I've seen, like, knives... I have seen, and I'm not joking, I've seen a griddle. Do you know, like a George Foreman grill? I have genuinely seen a George Foreman grill in the naughty bucket list. I don't know. The story going around when I was asking, so I was like, is that a grill? And somebody said apparently they bought it to take home with them. And I was like, okay, fine. And it was then there, but it was outside of the box, everything. So I was like, I don't know. But I have seen once a kind of George Foreman style grill in the naughty list. I see. Is it worth explaining? Because some people do panic about this. So if you do take something onto a ship that is technically contraband, what will happen is they will confiscate it from your suitcase or your personal carry-on luggage, and they will hold it until the end of the cruise. You can get all these things back if you do take them on by accident out of naivety. So don't think like there's loads of rules. It's probably worth you knowing the rules so you don't take something on you shouldn't. But what they will do is they will then give you a ticket for you to collect it as you get off the ship. So don't think like you're going to be in trouble. You're going to throw away your, you know, if you take tongs on or if you take on curling irons and they confiscate them, you can get them back at the end of the cruise. Same with alcohol. So cruise lines that don't allow you to take alcohol on, or they have a limit, any alcohol you take on over the limit will be held and you can collect it at the end of the voyage as well. So don't panic. But
the thing is, though, sometimes, so the last time we got off, there were loads and loads of plug socket connectors. Do you know the, and I thought they were all right. I mean, I don't take one, but a lot, that literally there was a table full of them.
Yeah.
Last time we come off Odyssey. I once got my hair straighteners taken off me, and they're not on the banned list. So I don't know why they took, I don't know if I'd said a bloke in a bad mood in customs. I don't know.
Well, this is why as well. So I know this as well, right? So from going and take smuggling alcohol onto cruise ships, and I don't smuggle it in a, I've seen people go through very elaborate tricks to try and get alcohol on a cruise ship. I don't. I just put it in my suitcase to see what happens. I've had loads of stuff get on. My drone. I take my drone with me on pretty much every cruise I go on to, and it always makes it onto the ship, even though they're all restricted. Usually what will happen is then when I then take it onto land and try and get back on the ship because it's in my hand luggage, they will then confiscate it at that point. So they don't always find everything. But I did wonder about hair straighteners because I get asked all the time, and it's inconsistent, the advice that you hear. It does appear on some restricted lists, but I know loads of people who do take them on and don't have any problems. So I don't know what the official rule is. I know, obviously, these are all set by each individual line, but...
Well, mine was... I was on NCL when they took them. But on my last NCL cruise, I looked... Because I was livid. So I've got curly hair.
Yeah.
But there were... I was with people on the cruise that hadn't had theirs taken. I just think the bloke was in an arsey mood, the customs guy. Cause it weren't one of the ship guys. But then... So now, no matter what ship I go on, I wrap my straighteners up in clothes and put them in the middle of my case because you need... It's not like I was taking an iron. I don't know. And yeah, we've never... I don't see the point of smuggling alcohol on because you can take 2 bottles of wine on anyway. And yeah. If you've got a drinks package, you don't need it, do you?
No, I don't hide it. I just, like, if we can take it... Normally how it works is if we bought a bottle when we're somewhere, like when we go to Walt Disney World, for example, we'll buy a bottle to have in the room and then we've got some left. So I'll normally just put it in my suitcase and, like, if they take it off, I'm not bothered. If they don't, then bonus. Same with Virgin. We've either been gifted bottles at hotels and things like that, so we normally take it with us. And if I can drink it in the cruise, great. If not, I'm not bothered because, as you say, I normally make sure I'm sufficiently armed with a drinks package or drinks allowance type of thing. But I rarely get my alcohol taken off me. Disney were really strict. Like, yeah, Disney found my bottle of rum. But that was a gift.
Can you take 2 bottles of wine on Disney?
Disney, you could take a bottle of wine per person from my memory, or 2 bottles at the original embarkation, but only wine and sparkling wine, not rum. So somebody we met on that trip, because it was our honeymoon, gifted us a bottle of rum. So I had to get it back to the UK, but the cruise was before we left. It was at the end of our trip. So I had it in my suitcase and I knew they were going to confiscate it, but that's the only time so far I've ever had alcohol confiscated on a cruise ship.
Is it P&O you can take a bottle of spirit, can't you?
Pretty sure it's up to my head is a litre per person as well. It's quite a generous allowance. A bottle of gin.
Do you know what though? I took a bottle of fizz and she took a bottle of gin. It was like a girl's trip. And we drank the fizz on the first night and then the cruise line really kindly left us a bottle as well. And we brought that bottle home and the gin, we'd had 1 gin and tonic each because when you're in your cabin, I don't know, we didn't have a balcony. So if we'd have had a balcony, you might have sat on your balcony and had a drink. But yeah, we just didn't drink it.
Weird, isn't it? Because I think we're not people that just really relax and chill in our balcony other than when we're sleeping. We normally go into the balcony to kind of just relax and unwind. So I we're not the type of people that would have a drink then. We're kind of social drinkers. We like to drink around about and chatting to people and things like that. So yeah, I think it's just the personal thing. We're not the type of people that worry about having to have alcohol in our cabin to drink. We're not like, let's go for a quick free getting ready drink, I guess. Some people are, and then they like a drink to get ready and get in the mood. We're two men. It takes us like 10 minutes to get ready, to be honest. So like, we're done before we take to pour a drink.
I like a glass of wine on the balcony at tea time because I think it's just lovely. It's just bliss. And you know how much I love my balcony. I have my breakfast on it. Very rarely go to the restaurant. Even if we have to pay for it, I have the breakfast on the balcony every day just because I want to be on there with a coffee, just chilling. We're sitting reading the news and... But then Chris likes a pre-dinner. Sure, Chris tends to go for a pre-dinner drink before I'm getting ready because he's got no patience.
Really? Well, there you go. See, it's men, like, getting ready, isn't it?
Yeah. So then he'll go down to Schooners and have a drink while I'm getting ready because he can't bear it.
We usually do. We will normally go back to the room with a drink and that'll just...
Yeah.
Either we'll drink it. We're so bad. Sometimes we just won't bother. So yeah, we normally walk back to the cabin with something to drink and then... get ready and then go back out type of thing.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, my God. I'm going on a... Well, tomorrow I'm going on a cruise next month.
Next month. Excited.
And then I'll be going to Paris this month and a cruise next month.
Very envious. I'm months away from mine. Well, okay, this last one then, right? This last one, because, again, this is an important logistical one, but somebody has asked, for the muster drill, does everyone from the cabin have to go down to the designated area, or can one person be designated from the party to go? We have three kids and don't want to drag them all down to the meetup area. And I get where the logic behind this one. I get it. It is a safety requirement that everybody goes, because everybody has to know where to go in the case of emergency. So I get it. There is nothing worse than, yes, if you've got kids and they may be tired because you've had a long travel day and you're getting on board the ship, the last thing you want to do is, you know, wake them up if they're asleep. But yes, you do have to take every person to the muster station, because every single person has to know where that muster station is. You can forget about it and forget where your muster station is the next day, but you have to know on that day one where your muster station is.
But this goes back. I don't think that's a stupid question, really, because...
Nope.
I mean, everybody has to go to the muster station, yes, but I think they should... The cruise lines that have gone back to the old way, I just think it's stupid. I think it worked so much better watching your video.
Yes.
You had to watch a video before the ship set off. Going to your muster point, it was just more efficient. Always sitting in a room, stupid.
Yeah. I don't like cruise lines that have gone back to this, the old original way where you've got to wait for 20, 30 minutes on the side of the ship. And
oh my God, that one we did, and we had to stand outside.
In the rain as well, in the rain, in the Irish sea.
Freezing. I had a cocktail with ice in. My hands were felt like they were going to fall off. Everybody was looking at me. I was shivering with my drink. That was just ridiculous.
Well, the last one, and this one did tickle me when I read it, and I thought this was so funny, was, after the cruise, can your room steward pull your car up to the ship?
God. As if they're not run ragged enough. As
do you hear me? Like,
oh my God.
During turnaround day, when they've got to turn around like 20 cabins each in about 2 hours, like, sure, sir, let me pop down and get your car from the car park for you and pull it up to the terminal side. But then somebody hysterically has replied back again, just a level of trolling in some of these groups is, no, the captain usually handles the valet duties for you. He's parked the ship, now he's off just to go grab your car from the car park. Like.
Oh, do you know what? Facebook could give you proper just, I mean, obviously these are silly questions, that's why we've shared them, but some people ask genuinely innocent questions and get absolutely annihilated. Now, anyone that does that in our group is gone, because
absolute
if it's
same.
Not a happy place, then no, not interested.
I'm very aware, because a lot of these questions are naivety, if you get me, and they're just kind of like, they maybe ask them in funny ways, or they may be asking them from a funny angle, but a lot of the questions are naivety. If you've never cruised before, cruise is a wonderful way to travel type of thing, and you don't know what you don't know. So I'm a firm believer, and your group's the same as my group, so we have a no tolerance rule to people being rude to people for asking what can be a genuinely innocent question, just coming from a place of inexperience and naivety. So I guess that's a good place to kind of jump off then, is we're going to kind of start wrapping up then, Sarah. So if the guys want to find your Facebook group, but also find some of your guides, where's the best place for the guys to find some of your content? And especially, like, say, we'll link obviously your group. My group's more for Resilient Lady, a Virgin Voyages group that I have. But I do have a Virgin Voyages group if anybody's interested in saying I'm a Virgin. But now that I've talked about myself, where can the guys find your group, Sarah?
So our Facebook group is called Cruising with Kids, but then it's Family Cruise Advice and Support Group. And it is Cruise Advice and Support. And it's, we rarely drop links, as you know. We're quite strict with links. I've put a few links there on the welcome. But it's more for just parents to ask parents questions, and it works well because we're all parents. So there's little judgment, if any, which I really like, apart from the one lady that asked if she could leave the kids in the cabin. That didn't go down well. But
if you've never cruised, though, there could be genuine questions, like, you know, so I'm not, it is what it is. Like, you know, I don't think it's a bad question, but it's just pointing out to people that, like, no, this is why you can't, type of thing. And I think it's nice that there are communities still online and Facebook where you can still do that, where you can ask those questions and still get a nice, you know, reasonable response, rather than people gunning for you. Because, yeah, some people in Facebook groups can be horrible. Like, I'm the same with the groups I've got. So I've got a Magic at Sea UK group, which is for Disney Cruise Line. It's not very active at the moment just because there are bigger groups out there, unfortunately. But I've got a Disney Cruise Line group, and I've also got a Virgin Voyages Resilient Lady group. So that's the main ship we're selling this year. And equally, I'm the same as well. The cruise can be complicated, and I think you need to have a welcoming environment for people to ask those questions that may seem silly and stupid, because they're not. At the end of the day, people don't know what they don't know. That's why we create this podcast. That's why we share the content we share. And that's why we create Facebook groups that have a more friendly environment, rather than people looking to attack each other, because there's enough of that going around the internet.
Definitely. Definitely. I agree.
So if the guys are looking to find your website, Sarah, where's the best place to find that online?
So you can find it at cruisingwithkids.com. You can also Google Cruising for All, but yeah, Cruising with Kids, and you'll find us there.
Fab. And then if anyone who's listening to the ooze, if that's a Welsh accent kicking ooze. If anyone who's listening to this podcast is ever interested in booking a cruise with me from the UK, or if you live in the UK, then you can find me online everywhere under magical-traveler.com or magical-trvlr. Guys, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. It was a bit of a light-hearted one, but we hope you've had some fun with us. And we'll see you on the next one. Take care. Bye.
Bye.